Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
He cannot be that guy.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Hey, Dibs. Your picks stink.
I mean, they do.
You can't play those enough today, Grandy. Your boy's in a scuffle. And I like the pick. And then I was looking at it. They're up 2 touchdowns. And I was about to text the group.
We all like the pick.
I was about... Not Lucas.
Oh. Lucas, stop it.
Sir Clap-a-Lot back there. Yeah,
Lucas doesn't even have picks.
I was going to text the group about how back I am and how I'm him, and then I texted all of you later.
Don't
and
do
I
that
said,
early. That's
turns
too early.
Out I am not that yeah. mother jumper. And I think that was the last text I sent. I went to bed angry.
I bet.
I'm angry,
bet.
Jeff.
We can tell.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Laughing I'm that monk. Mother bleeper.
Righteously brewed in San Francisco. I mean,
I kind of want to ride him.
That's
I'm angry, Jeff.
That's your private opinion.
You probably don't even have that anymore.
No,
I'm angry, Jeff.
That's awesome.
Never put it by Grandy.
It's perfect.
Yep. I was angry.
This thing last night, it kind of grabbed my attention for this reason. And to sort of bring it to whether it is Kyle Shanahan, Steve Kerr, like Bob Melvin got fired last year. Do I think Bob did a great job? No. Did I think we talked too much about Bob? Yep. Like, I'll say it. I was way more offended by the way Jung-Hoo Lee played last year than Bob Melvin and who he picked out of the bullpen. Should he have shown more fire? Damn right. Damn right. Could he have done some things a different way? Absolutely. Was he the problem? No. No, and that is a forever debate in sports because you can't fire the players, and I understand that. But does Steve Kerr make mistakes? Better believe it. You just mentioned Shanahan in overtime. Bob Melvin, not enough fire. There's plenty of room to point at things that coaches do, decisions or locker rooms in general not working that we can point to. However, I will say this, and I will firmly say this. For all things that go on today in Bay Area sports, the coaches get way too much blame.
I'll agree with that.
Way too much conversation.
And I was thinking about like public things that we've seen, and I'm going back to, I guess it was Jake Moody, and I think he kicked one out of bounds, and then the special teams coach, he just
lost
walked
it.
Away.
Lost it.
He lost
yeah.
it. He barked at him, and he just walked away, and
right.
that was a public display, and then next thing you know, Eddie Pinheiro was in, and Jake Moody was gone, and so we don't see a lot of like public outcries like we heard last night.
But and by the way, public is interesting, right? Because I sort of look at this as I'm sure there's plenty of stuff that happens behind closed doors that we don't know, but it's not just press conferences. Who was the? I'm forgetting.
Zach Littell?
No. Niner game.
That was one.
Niner game just like a few weeks ago. Who committed the really stupid penalty? And Shanahan.
Oh, it was Mustafa.
Was it Mustafa? I don't think it was Mustafa. I'm forgetting, but I don't think
he got benched. Immediately benched.
No, he went.
So like the late hit?
Yes.
I think that was Mustafa.
Maybe
it
was. I don't feel like it was.
He believes it when you say it.
No,
I
don't.
Say it,
I don't believe
doubt.
It. I just said it. That's
I'll
not,
check my
that
notes.
Is not my memory, but my memory could very well be wrong. And it doesn't matter. The point is, Shanahan went and barked at him on the bench, started to walk away, went back to him,
right.
And jumped on the bench. And there was a Juwan Jennings thing earlier this year, too. And we don't jump at that because it wasn't a press conference. It's in public. There's cameras everywhere. And the coaches are unloading on the players because they done messed up. And that is okay. Like, again, that's what I'm getting at here. This town, at least with two of these teams, has A-level coaching. And it does not mean they don't make mistakes, and it does not mean they are above criticism by any stretch of the imagination. But this kind of got me going last night because I really feel like it picked a scab or something. Like, we got to come up with some better, more thoughtful criticisms here. When things go into a temporary problem, if the Warriors lose three in a row, that does not mean that Steve Kerr's an idiot. And if the Niners have some sort of a fourth quarter problem, that does not mean that Kyle Shanahan's a crappy coach. And by the way, how about this? Like, did you feel it was poor leadership when Kyle Shanahan absolutely threw Steve Wilks under the bus at a press conference? Was that poor leadership?
Yeah.
Well, it was.
I mean, it was poor leadership to the extent that, like, he knows he can't do that. And just real quick, it was Renardo Green, and I'm looking at it here against Arizona, right.
I'll wait for your apology since you threw me down on the ground on that
one.
I
only threw you down on the ground because you only agreed with the fallacy when Grandy said
it. No, I didn't agree with it.
That was my point.
But it was two people saying the same thing, and so I'm like, ooh, maybe I'm wrong.
It was Renardo Green.
Thank you, Renardo
39
Green.
39 against Arizona. Dortch got a six-yard catch.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to think of. Exactly.
Green comes over, hits him late. And then he got benched.
Yeah.
So shout out my notes. I was able to find it. And there you have it. So I'm sorry. I'm not as sorry as Grandy should be.
You don't need to apologize.
No, too
I'm
late.
Kidding. It's, yeah, whatever.
It's a but sorry but.
It was Renardo Green. Yes. That like
the bigger point, though, is about
that was
Wilks.
All in public.
When Kyle did that to Wilks, that was a bad look. Because what that told you is he's got no faith in his DC. And the DC is going to get fired. And he'll be replaced by somebody who's unqualified.
By the way, yeah, temporarily, and now he's been replaced by somebody qualified, and my goodness, you can see the difference.
But the guy who got replaced actually was a Super Bowl runner-up defensive coordinator, and
That's his resume.
I get it.
Whatever.
But
you know what I mean? Like
to me was a bad look, and I said it then, and I still believe it.
And that's fine. You can have that opinion. I guess my thought is whenever I see that in a press conference, the first thing that goes through my head is, wow, what's been going on behind the scenes to lead to this point? Because I do not believe, even though maybe you get, Mike Singletary, you keep bringing up, maybe you get emotional outbursts like that because they're in the moment. And sometimes guys people lose themselves, right?
You play to win the
game.
Like,
I get it. Sometimes you lose it because if we want to do the parenting comp, boy, like probably 2-3 times a month.
A month?
A night. Something will happen in my house where then an hour later, you're like, I probably could have handled that better. I probably could have been a little.
So when you meet the media, Mr. Willard, I noticed that Jude was a little bit flummoxed this morning. Well, he knows he has to eat that cereal.
That's right.
You know?
He cannot eat that way.
He cannot be that guy.
That's right. That's right. He two times this week, he tried to talk his way out of school. One time he won, one time he lost.
All right.
He took an L. Then tomorrow he bounced back.
Yeah.
I got my own complaint.
Yeah. So, like, that's what I'm getting at. If they go to a press conference to say that, I think it often means, yo, I've been trying behind the scenes as long as possible to get to this person, and it's not working. In fact, that is exactly what happened with he cannot be that guy. And Steve told us that.
Right.
We have been begging Brandon to not do this. So it is a coaching, I don't want to call it a weapon, but it is part of the coaching repertoire that if a message is not going home one-on-one or one-to-team, then you grab one of these microphones and you say it louder.
But is that effective?
And it has been at times.
And at times it has not been.
Right.
And I think that Mike Singletary and Vernon Davis, I don't know if that was effective. Singletary wasn't long enough or here long enough to really, you know, bear fruit on that. And it's one thing for, you know, Steve Kerr to talk about pods or Kuminga, which he did this week on our show. He said, yeah, you know, it's effort, it's want to, it's all those things. And I don't know if he could be part of the Stay Ready crew, but when Todd Bowles comes out after a game, and I don't want to make this all about Todd Bowles, but when you just talk about random people who didn't get the job done, that to me is weak sauce leadership.
Nope.
You're not talking about a person who you've talked to behind closed doors. This to me was, this whole thing is broken.
It's not us. I would argue that no coaching move can be assessed until we see what happens.
Well, it's always process, not results. That's your thing.
Well, right. But this is part of the process, and let's see how the Bucks respond. You know what I mean? Is this not so? In other words, if I'm Steve Kerr, and sorry, all roads, right? Because we're going to play Warrior Survivor later because everybody's so excited about who's in and who's out tonight. So if I'm Steve Kerr and I go public, dude, Jonathan Kuminga, his effort is poor, and I go public with this because he kind of did. I know he was answering your question.
Yep.
But he can choose whether he's Steve Kerr. He's done an interview before, and he doesn't need to answer that. I told you I didn't think he was going to, and he did.
Yep.
If he says that publicly, all right, like, who's it on now for Jonathan's effort to go up? Is that on Steve or is that on Jonathan?
It depends if Jonathan gets to play.
Well, let's presuppose that he plays.
Yeah, then it's on JK.
Okay.
No doubt.
That's kind of all I'm getting at here. It can be the coach's fault. Sure. I just think sports is way, way, way more about players. It's way more about players. And our snap reaction is to always blame the coach when something doesn't go right. Warriors back in action tonight. T-Wolves at 7. Warriors live with Evan Giddings at 6. Presented by Xfinity, your home court advantage. Brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. Warriors fans, 49er fans, what's your thought on Steve Kerr and Kyle Shanahan and accountability, whether that's through the years or right now? We will take your calls. And those of you on hold, thank you for your patience. We're coming to you immediately. 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's the question? If that helps answer your question better. I think you just answer your own question. You're welcome.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Anytime a Niner quarterback throws interceptions, Kyle Shanahan is asked about each individual interception. And then sometimes he answers with, well, that one was not necessarily his fault. Receiver ran the wrong way. That one over there, that was a great play by the defender. And then you always know when Kyle is putting the quote-unquote blame on the QB when he says, oh, and then that third one, they'd like to have that one back.
Yeah.
That's code for he messed up, which, by the way, is okay. It's okay. But, like, when he does that, are you good with that? I know there's varying levels, obviously, of the public criticism. I'm wondering to what level an athlete needs to be protected in front of a microphone by their head coach after things don't go well.
Well, it's one thing to protect an athlete, and the quarterback is always going to be scrutinized in a different way. And when you're asked about an athlete and you give an honest assessment, well, then, yeah, I can take that because it's you being asked about an athlete and you're giving your assessment of the athlete. And at times, I think fans would listen to Shanahan and think, oh, you're defending Brock more than you should. He threw three picks. And you look at the three-pick game against Carolina, and it was a late throw, and most people would say a great pick by the defense. And so, yeah, two of those were on Brock, and the third one was just a great defensive play. And that's kind of what Kyle said, but you can hear whatever you want to hear. My problem with Todd Bowles is he's talking about the team, and he's talking about, like, a few individuals or more than a few that aren't pulling their weight. And the other part is, you know, the coaches have done all they can do. So, in other words, we're fine. We're 100 out of 100. We're good. And it's them. That's what I took. I took offense at.
I do believe that coaching is more about the buildup to the game, and then the game is about the players.
Well, the game's also about the coaches. You know what I mean? It's about play calling. It's about, like, time management and knowing the overtime rules and stuff.
It's no different than our show. We meet every week, yep, as a group
every day,
and with our superiors and all of that. And then I would never come out of a show and that conversation didn't go well. Hey, boss, where were you on that one? That would be ridiculous.
Yes, but at the same time, like,
that would be absurd.
We have a certain standard where we expect Grandy and Lucas to perform at a certain level. And when they don't, it's harder for us to be at our best as a show.
Sure. Well, that's absolutely, but that's...
And they could be at their best, and then we can come out and not be good, and the show can be bad because of us, and they could have booked three guests, and they could
tell me about it.
Well, that came out of nowhere. I mean, you weren't ready to chime in when I was impugning you and Lucas.
How about a teacher, and then the kids are taking the test, right? I'm going to spend all week teaching you this stuff.
Right.
I mean, think about it through the lens of a teacher.
Right? I live now, with one.
Okay. And you work with one too, so the teacher.
Kind of.
Well, what was that?
I mean, you talk on Zoom and give everyone A's.
That is wildly inaccurate. I should show you the great. Next week is the end of the semester.
Yeah.
And by the way, don't talk to them on Zoom because that one's an online class. And I should show you the grades.
Okay.
It is not all A's.
I would love to see
it
that.
It is not all A's.
If you're not getting an A in Mr. Willard's class, well, then you're not trying.
By the way, and I will say that into this microphone, it's on you.
Right.
Period. And I don't have any hesitation on that.
So you're like the Todd Bowles of teachers.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I tell them that at the beginning of the semester. I am not hard, and I am here. I'm here. If you are having a problem, if you need an extension, here's my phone number.
Yep.
Here's my email address. I'm not going to give you my regular address, but if you ask for it, I'll probably give you my address. Let's talk this out and figure it out. If you don't get an A in my classes because you didn't execute.
Bet you didn't try.
Period. Period. It is not because I didn't teach you the right stuff.
Now, well, there's no defense in your class.
My class is not built that way. But believe you me, I got teenagers at home, and they will tell me every single week when they're struggling with math, this teacher is so awful. So awful. And I promise you that the teacher believes that the teacher has taught you everything that he or she can, and the teacher is accessible if you're not getting it,
right,
and you can come get extra help. And then when it's test time, that's the game. It's game time. Now we get to see if you can go execute what you've learned. And if you screw it up, that teacher, if there were a press conference after tests, which would be really funny, by the way, and get that teacher up there to give a little press conference, I'd have no problem at all. If they'd be like, yeah, class average was a C minus. They've been loafing. They've been doing spitballs in the background. We got Johnny Paper Airplane over here in the back left corner. Those two won't stop talking. And this one in the middle shows up half the time. That's on you.
But again, Todd Bowles didn't count. You know, he didn't call out Johnny Airplane or Billy Paperwad.
I mean, it was again.
Basically, it was. It's not us. It's them.
I don't know what the focus is on why there needs to be individual names. I'm talking more about a general sense.
It needs to be collective accountability. Oh, well, and he is as accountable as they are. And your teacher analogy is a good one because my wife used to be a fourth grade teacher, and they all kind of get judged on how those kids do on standardized
schools
testing.
Schools do, exactly. Or
standardized testing. Yeah. So when she was no longer a fourth grade teacher, and you could look at the replacement, you could see how their test scores are doing relative to hers. Now, every grade, every group of kids is different. They're not all going to be high achieving or low achieving. But over time, like with a head coach in the NFL, you can kind of see where you could be a talented team. You could have a last place schedule. You could be this or that or the other. If you're always around 500 or slightly below, it might be on you, coach or teach.
I'm not saying all teachers are cut the same either, by any stretch.
Right.
And some are good and some are bad. But usually a bad teacher is one that either A, doesn't care, or, I mean, hell, I've seen some crazy stuff. People sleeping
imagine
through classes.
Imagine if NFL coaches got tenured where coach for 2 years.
Well, Mike Tomlin has.
Well, but he's earned it.
Yeah,
I mean, they never have a losing record.
Right.
And this might be the end of it, although
they also very rarely have a really good winning record, too.
But, I mean, and we've talked about this. Yeah. Would you rather have one phenomenal year and 17 years of you suck or always be in the mix?
I think that.
Because they're always in the mix.
I'd certainly rather be always in the mix, but provided that that mix also has some actual contention to it.
Well,
which they did. They used to. They haven't for a long time.
It's been a while. I mean, I don't even know what actual contention is. This year, they could be actually in contention.
Maybe. I don't really feel
if they make the playoffs, the AFC is wide open.
Ish.
As we heard yesterday from Lock and Fora and others.
Pittsburgh's not going to go in three or four in a row in the AFC playoffs.
Well, Niners won't either.
You're probably right.
Yeah, and Tampa won't.
I mean,
and Carolina won't. So,
listen,
I mean, what are we talking about with contention?
How do you feel about that word? And this is what we could really 888-957-9570. How do you feel about Steve Kerr and accountability? How do you feel about Kyle Shanahan and accountability? See, Steve Kerr, there is a very consistent conversation, I feel, especially this time of year, earlier last season as well, about Steve Kerr, whether it's calling out young players, whether this is an organizational failure or whatever. I find Steve Kerr, in my experience at least, and it's often been on our show, you know this, we have multiple times had Steve barely let us get a question out before he's like, I messed up last night. And here's where I can't speak to, for instance, Todd Bowles or Dan Campbell or other coaches around the league. I don't know if they do both. But to me, accountability and the ability to call others out comes from, will you take accountability when you're wrong? And if you do, then that obviously sets up the ability to go in the other direction. That's kind of how I feel. So if Steve Kerr does want to come on one day and be like, did I mess up that Moses Moody situation?
That's right.
In the lineup or what? Boy, I messed that up. And then three nights later, he cannot be that guy. I am much more willing to listen because I can see that you will go both ways on this one.
Yeah.
That to me is much better. Shanahan is a little bit more aloof on this topic, I would say.
A little bit, but I don't think that he ever comes out and just straight up points the finger and says, you know, player A or player B or player C, they need to be better in order for us to win. I do think that with, you know, direct questioning, he at times, you know, can be self-reflective of decisions that he made or they made that maybe didn't work out and stuff, and maybe it's a play call or the execution, and I don't think that he's quite at that comfort level as Steve Kerr, but who is? Steve Kerr is a rare bird. He's won 9 rings.
Very good point.
He doesn't know where half of them are. He's won 4 here for a franchise that hasn't won since 1975. So Steve Kerr, as far as comfort level goes, he might be one of one.
No doubt.
Not only who he is person,
no doubt,
what he's been through, how his childhood or his early adolescence or his early college life was affected by the murder of his father, yep, and he goes on to have the career he had, playing with Michael Jordan, learning from Pop, winning 4 here, being the person he is. I don't know if we can find another comp to Steve as far as, like, you know, self-actualization and honesty and all the rest
100%,
of it. So 100%. He might be an unfair barometer, but I think Shanahan's a good one where even when things are bad, to me, he doesn't usually get defensive, or he doesn't get to be accusatory. Yeah,
I can't think of a time where he grabbed a microphone and really, really, like, called out a player or even the whole team. Again, the one that stands out to me was Steve Wilks,
right,
which is another member of the staff. So that's a little bit different.
Even the one I was thinking of was when Debo kind of went after Tabor, yeah, Pepper. He defended him.
It's like Tabor overreacted.
Right.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
And yeah, Steve's right. And by the way, that's how I would expect players to respond to even young ones. Even young ones. Sometimes I think we talk about athletes who are 23 years old as if they're 6. They're 23 years old. And for instance, All Rhodes, he's been in the league for 5 years.
Yep.
He is not a baby anymore. And so this goes for all of the players on the Warriors. And this is kind of like, maybe this is a cool way for all of us to maybe find a little middle ground in the conversation that we've all had. Like, what if I took Jonathan Kuminga's name off of it? And what if we took the word fault out of it? But the fact that Jonathan has not succeeded so far the way everybody wants him to with the Warriors or in the NBA, that's not on Steve Kerr. That's on Jonathan. In fact, it's
almost, on all of them.
It's almost always on the athlete.
I think it's on all of them.
And I don't see it that way. And
right.
I don't like, remove the word fault. Sometimes you're just not a great player, even if you want to be.
Well, sometimes it's just about, like, the fit.
Why don't we go with Wiseman and Lance and we can take that wow sensitivity out of this. It's not Steve Kerr's fault that James Wiseman is not that good. He's not worthy of the number 2 pick in the draft. And it is not Kyle Shanahan's fault that Trey Lance is not worthy of the number 3 pick. It's sure the organization's fault for picking him where they did. Absolutely. But, like, I don't even think of the coach when it comes to whether or not an athlete succeeds. And I bet I could prove it to each and every one of you, because when there's a bust in another city, nobody ever talks about the coach. Who was Jamarcus Russell's coach? You don't even know. He was just a bust.
Might have been Lane Kiffin.
He couldn't play. He couldn't play. I've never heard someone look at a different city and a high-level draft pick. Who's our guy in Portland right now? Scoot.
Yep.
As dude's a bust.
But it's, still early.
Are we going to blame Chauncey Billups? Is it his fault?
It depends if he goes somewhere else and plays well. And that's where I look at the Kuminga situation. Is it on Kuminga for not being better? Yes. Is it on the Warriors for not playing him more? Sure. They have their reasons, which was we want to win a championship. And I don't know what his reasons are for not being better. Maybe it's like our caller said yesterday where Steve was telling him to work on his three-point shot and he really wants to be more of a dunker spot guy. I don't know. I think that you can look at shared responsibility. And again, I don't want to use the word fault either because
it's not your fault.
Kuminga's race has not yet been run. You had me thinking about Cleveland Furl as a great example. He, I think, was the number four overall pick, and he was a Raider, and he was there for 4 years, and it didn't work out. He was a Niner, and he was rotational. Then he went to Washington, then he was a Charger. Now he's back, and it's working again. So why is it working now, and it didn't work before? Well, some of that is maturity. He's a more mature player, and some of it is also structure, where he's now playing for Robert Saleh.
But he's also not, he's still not playing at number four overall pick level.
No, but he's not, he's not a bust because he's still playing. This is now going to be his eighth year in the NFL.
Well, that's interesting. The idea of he's still playing and he's not a bust, I bet that fans of a particular team would not use that as a barometer. Was Javon Kinlaw a bust?
Was Mike Dunleavy a bust? He was taken number three overall, and he played 15 years in the association.
Yeah, but you if you did that draft again, you wouldn't take him number three.
Right. I think that we use the word bust too, footloose and fancy free.
That might be true.
I think the proper way to say it would be overdrafted.
Okay, what word would you like? Disappointment.
Well, if James Wiseman goes on to have an 11-year career, he's not a bust. He was overdrafted. But right now, as the number two overall pick and a guy who has barely played, right now, he's a bust. Markelle Fultz, number one overall, he's a bust. Anthony Bennett, I think is the man's name.
Yeah, good call.
Number one overall, he's a bust. So there's overdrafted, and then there's bust. Like, unfortunately, Trey Lance right now is bust.
That's a bust.
But
I don't think you need to say right now. Like, Trey Lance, that's a number three pick in the draft.
There's a chance that he has some sort of a 45-year-old renaissance.
You need to take over a franchise for that to be a correct pick.
Agreed.
And
it's a 99% chance that that doesn't happen.
I also think you can use the word bust if you're simply talking about the team. Like, if that person succeeds somewhere else, then for the team, it was a busted pick. It was a busted pick. And, you know what I mean? Okay, this person goes on, and like you said, Cleveland Furl's not a bust. Well, he is for the Raiders.
I mean,
like 100% he is for the Raiders. This is a number four overall pick, and they got nothing out of it.
Well, he played every game, and you know, except for a small handful, they were terrible.
Yeah.
So is that on him?
Not and always.
He was not ferocious. And I'm looking at his numbers. He had a 4.5 sack year as a rookie, and that was his high watermark.
That's why I'm trying to remove the word fault. Like, I'm not mad at a player if it turns out they're not as good as the world thought they were. I'm not mad at you. Professional sports here is really hard. These are the elite, elite, elite of the entire world. If we thought you were one of them and you're actually just sort of like a B or a C level, then okay.
You were overdrafted.
Yeah, like I'm not mad at you. It's not your fault, but it just didn't work.
Right.
But for me, I think of all these situations we're talking about, we could probably find a few examples. I don't know. How about, it's funny that, like, circle back to the Bucs. Was Baker Mayfield a bust? Well, he's not now, but he was for the Browns.
Right. So that's a perfect example because he's not a bust. They're the bust.
Yes.
You're the bust, Cleveland.
Right. Okay. So in that particular case, that works. Although I still can't, in that moment, put that all on the coach. That is very circumstantial.
Football's a little different.
It is.
It is.
All of them are different.
It's the structure and it's all those other things. And that's why, I mean, all roads lead to Trey Lance in this case because Trey Lance is not a bust if he doesn't work out here and then he goes somewhere else in a better structure and they give him a chance and he plays. But he went to Dallas and didn't play, and now I'm told he's a Chargers.
He's a Charger.
And he still isn't playing, even though the starter has a broken hand. He still isn't playing.
Correct.
So right now, when you're on three organizations and none of them find a way to play you, you become a bust. If you're Baker Mayfield and you go to one of the real doormats of professional sports, and then you go elsewhere and you do well, you're not a bust. They're the bust.
So anyway, agreed. So anyway, that is fundamental too. So every single one of you listening to our voices, who's ever said, my God, that Mark, he must live at Kerr or Shanahan's home. Like, he will not criticize
it. I hear you split time between the two.
I do. Summer's with Kerr. Anyway, he won't ever criticize those guys. Yeah, you're kind of mostly right. It's not that I've never said anything about either of them, but here's a news flash. I don't know if you've noticed. They're really good coaches. Like, really, really good coaches.
Yeah.
That's number one. And number two, I view sports through the lens of the player way more often than I do the coach. The coach, for me, I can see it when a coach is the wrong person for the job, when the locker room is a chaotic mess, or when decisions are repeatedly being made incorrectly in high-leverage moments. That's coaching. But when Marco Luciano goes out there and sticks cement on his hands, I am never going to look at Bob Melvin and be like, coach him up. That's just not
I see that one totally differently.
That does not work that way at all.
Organizationally, can you get the guy to be better defensively?
Well, no, organizationally, the second you see his hands, can you trade him?
Well,
when the world thinks he's good, like, hello.
Don't tell me that he's going to be your starting shortstop, and then next thing you know, he's playing left field in AAA. So, I mean, Marco Luciano's a tough one because I do think that as a coach, a baseball coach, there's a certain amount of coaching in baseball that just doesn't happen anymore. And we looked at it last year with the Giants. This Giants team, they gave away 90 feet, like, night in and night out.
All the time.
With boneheaded base running and the poor left fielder, Elliot Ramos, I don't know if he's an air traffic controller in his spare time, but
that's a great example.
The guy has no idea about routes and catching the ball.
Whose fault?
It's his and the team.
Do they
ever like hit infield?
To me, that's him.
Or outfield?
That's him. If you
got to coach him up.
If you don't know the infield fly rule as a big league ball player, I'm sorry, you are not doing your job.
If he doesn't know the infield fly rule, then you put him on the IL for 10 days and you have him go down and play. You go down and have him play with 12-year-olds and learn the game.
It's a Football Friday presented by Merit America. Visit them at meritamerica.org/super. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. And then how about this? We got some stuff from Shanahan that I think you're really, really going to want to hear. You probably should hear. Your football coach, Bay Area, Kyle Shanahan, let's hear how he addresses the team and a player who is not getting the ball. So we've got that coming up next. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
I'm not a doctor, so.
It's questionable. Questionable concern.
All right.
On 95.7 The Game.
Whew. Thank goodness we got a Niner game this weekend.
Yeah, it's been a long week.
These bye weeks.
It's been a great week, but yeah.
It's a great week, yeah.
A lot going on.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just excited. I'm like getting with the family to figure out like what food do you want us to make for a Titans game?
Well, it feels special because like, yeah, there was like, no game, you know?
Well, it's the holidays.
And we're down to just 63 of these in the regular season.
Potentially the last Sunday afternoon game of the year.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Last time you could have lunch with the Niners. Maybe
with the Niners,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe. The Seahawks game has no time now.
And then after Niners, you got Warriors at 6 on Sunday.
Exactly. Exactly right. This is a big weekend.
So no Willard and Ephraim on our air.
You would have to go find it.
Yeah. I won't.
I thought you were like Grandy put his arms up as if like I thought you were celebrating. And then you like made the raspberry face with your tongue and put thumbs down. What are you trying to say here, Grandy?
Oh yeah, I was saying that sucks for you, Willard. But I'll be on the air.
Okay, yeah, no, Grandy's on. I thought that was your review of our show.
Yeah, man.
So we go from we'll do a little bit of the overtime and right into
it'll be a very short overtime, and yeah, then Warriors live.
Give everybody the dilly bopper.
Well, the Niners game starts at 1:25.
Oh, are they the
on
late,
Sunday
late window? Okay,
so it's likely going to end sometime around 4:30. And then whenever the game ends, whenever overtime begins, which is our post game show, that's going to go until 5:00, and then at 5:00 we start with Warriors live.
Okay, so you may only get like 20-25 minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
And then right into Warriors live, and then the Dubs will keep things going. And we'll have all of that, we'll see who's playing there. I know tonight, that's all eyes are on the starting lineup and who's in the rotation. I do think in a little bit we should talk about the comments that Steph Curry made about Jonathan Kuminga and an entire article written about the situation. And even within that article, it sort of talks about the dynamic that I was fearful of, which is, man, these guys are going to get, they're going to get tired. Like, this is going to become a problem just because I don't know how you conduct this season and not have every question be about Jonathan and his playing time and his production every night. And we've arrived, by the way.
We've
arrived at this.
Well, and we can play Warrior Survivor and talk about who's in the rotation and who's getting voted off the island. But you had me thinking about the Niners comp and what if we spent the entirety of our Niners talk talking about DeMarcus Robinson.
Right.
I mean, you know, all roads lead to DeMarcus Robinson. Why doesn't he get more snaps? And is he out of the rotation? And, you know, why don't they throw him the ball more? Yep. And not that he's had the same career as Kuminga because he's new here, but he's been around. He's a veteran. He's not in the rotation. And, I mean, we don't ever talk about him.
No.
Even when we talk about, man, they don't really throw the ball to receivers much. It's Pearsall, and it's what happened to Kendrick Bourne? And, you know, Juwan, he's kind of holding it down, and where's the rookie? And, oh, yeah, remember DeMarcus Robinson? You were, like, pining for him and waiting for him. And
I love him.
Yeah.
I love him.
You love him more than they do, apparently, because they don't really play him.
Yeah, no, they play him. And you've talked about this. They don't go three wides very often.
Right.
By the way, the interesting one is Pearsall. And so check this out. Two things. Fresh Shanahan. From today, first of all, was asked if this game against the Titans coming off of a bye could be a trap game.
I don't really look at it that way. I mean, I think there's no difference in this game than the next three games, personally. I think when you come off a bye, it's always a challenge as a coach because your goal is that everyone gets fresher by resting, which is the best thing. But you also get extremely rusty by not practicing. So I felt that way early in the week, but getting to work in on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday of all full speed, getting walkthrough and base air half speed today, I think you knock the rust off. And then I look at it as a full advantage going into bye week.
That's kind of an interesting answer when you think about what happens in the playoffs. The best team in each conference gets a whole week off, and you know, there's all these records, coaches who do really well coming off of a bye. Kyle made it sound like it's actually hard. It's because you can get rusty or out of sync.
Yep. And he's never had a bye this late, and so I do think that this one, for me anyway, it makes it so you're less likely to be rusty because you've already put 13 games out there on tape, and so it's much more of a rest for me than it is rust. But I don't really look at this as a trap game because they're coming off the bye. The one that I'm looking at this weekend that is kind of trappy is Chicago hosting Cleveland, because Chicago then has Green Bay at home at the Niners and then Detroit. So if you're looking at a spot where Chicago might be in a look ahead situation, Chicago hosting Cleveland might be the one.
Maybe. I don't think the Bears have been good long enough to be looking over people. I bet that they are, I mean, at 9-4, they have not clinched a damn thing yet. So, you know, they're probably still pretty thirsty. But check this one out. He was asked, do you kind of talk to players when maybe they're going through something that could feel frustrating to them? The example here is Pearsall, who's not getting the ball very much right now.
I only talk to people when they're not getting the ball, when I know how much you guys are hounding them for not getting the ball. Those are the things that I don't need to tell a guy. That if I go up to a guy and say, hey, don't worry, I still have confidence in you. So when someone comes and says that to me, I'd be like, I wasn't worried you didn't. What the hell happened? I hope my wife never tells me that for no reason. I think she genuinely likes me. So no, I don't do that at all. But I do feel for guys big time in this day and age, and just how that stuff goes, that they got to answer to a lot of stuff and all about stats and everything. And this is a different sport. There's 22 people on the field, and stats get a lot of people attention in a good way, and they also get people the attention in a bad way. But when it comes to our world, the football world, and what we do in these rooms and watching film, there's no need for me to explain anything. He understands it.
I dig that answer, and I also think that, you know, especially since we're talking about coaching people up and who's to blame, and what do you say to guys in these situations? You got to remember, this is a company. Like, what's the active roster number on a given week for a game?
It's 53. But you dress 45.
Right. Okay. But then there's all the practice squad and blah, blah, blah. We're talking about when you add in all the assistants, the equipment managers, and everything that goes in it, we're talking about well over 100 people. And I think... and you've got a game plan. And by the way, sometimes that game is 4 days after your most recent game. Sometimes it's 7 days. In this particular case, it's 14 days. But you get what I'm talking about. There's a lot to do. I don't think these guys are all talking to each other about every little thing as much as we probably think. This is not youth sports. Kyle Shanahan does not have office hours so that everybody who didn't get 7 catches last week can come to his office and talk this out. And again, this is part of my larger point today. If you want to be a professional athlete, my God, you got to have a really thick skin. You got to be able to deal with this stuff. You got to be able to deal with not getting good stats. You got to be able to deal with social media calling you out after every single game. And you got to deal with a coach who might speak freely to the world about you. Yeah, like, that's just part of the deal, I think.
Especially when you're on this team and you're a wide receiver, you know going in that you're going to have to block more than you're going to get the rock. And that's just the way it goes. And you look at this year, and I was just looking at the receptions. There have been 187 receptions on this team, not to wide receivers. There have been 120 to wide receivers. So if you want to start to parse that out, from Juwan to Kendrick to Ricky to DeMarcus to Sky to MVS to Jordan Watkins to Malik Turner, who actually has a target, no catch. You don't get the ball when you're the wide receiver. McCaffrey gets it, and I think that he has about half the touches on the year of the whole team. So yeah, McCaffrey, you're going to be the high usage guy, and then it's going to be Kittle, And then it'll be Juwan. And beyond that, all the rest of you, you get crumbs. So that's just the way this goes. And, you know, Ayuk hasn't played a snap, and Ricky missed a handful of games. And even when he's come back, he's not getting a lot of touches, let alone Robinson and, you know, Jordan Watkins, who we've all been saying, all right, let's see Watkins. Even though he plays a little bit here and there, he has 3 targets this year and 2 catches.
Well, and I'd also point out some things that are going on around the league, like when people don't get touches, because I think this is related to the conversation we've largely been having today. All right, when someone's not getting touches, where do you look? Where do you look? And yes, there are definitely wide receivers who will either look at their quarterback or they will look at their coach for not, you know, quote, scheming them up or whatever. But I live by this mantra just as a fan. I think if you're incredible as a professional athlete, if you're incredible, you can't hide that. You cannot hide that. You will get on the field. So that's part of why I've always felt the way that I do whenever, like, if someone is not getting in and you want them to be in more, that can be Kuminga, it could be Ayuk, it could be Trey Lance, it could be whatever. If you want that person in and they're not in as much as you sort of want them to be, and we go, man, that coach has got to put him in there. The coach in practice or wherever has a reason for not putting him in there. It doesn't mean that the coach is automatically right, but my belief is if you're incredible, they can't keep you out. And that's on you. That is on you. Yes, there are systems. Yes, there are challenges in life. But this is so high leverage, and everybody wants to win so bad. Like, the number of great athletes out there who just aren't being given a chance, but they're actually incredible, I think that's a very, very small number.
It just depends on the situation, and I think about Brian Robinson Jr. a lot because he's a really good running back, but he happens to be playing behind a guy who gets all the touches and he gets all the snaps. And if you look at it, McCaffrey's played 83% of the snaps this year. And you don't ever play the two of them together. I think they've played together 1 or 2 snaps all year.
Barely.
So Robinson Jr. has 17.5% of the snaps and McCaffrey gets 83. So if you're Brian Robinson, you're a really good running back, but you're not as good as the guy who's been the best running back in football, maybe outside Jonathan Taylor, maybe ahead of Jonathan Taylor. So that's just kind of a tough spot for Brian Robinson Jr. in that. And also, if you're a tight end and, you know, Tonjes, he was good when Kittle was out. And since Kittle's come back, you never see Jake Tonjes, maybe a little bit. You see Luke Farrell in 2 tight end sets, same thing. And so part of it is the system and the scheme and the health of the guy in front of you. And so you've got guys in front of you who are Hall of Famers, and so they're going to play.
I don't push back on your point about Brian Robinson, but I think Brian Robinson is exactly where he's supposed to be. I do not believe that, and I'm sure Brian would hate this at age 26, and I'm sorry to say it into a microphone, which I guess maybe, you know, triggers some people, but I don't think Brian Robinson is ever going to get a bell cow job in the NFL.
Well, it's not about a bell cow job.
I don't think he'll be a starter.
Let's just say he was a Ram, and I don't have the exact numbers, but Blake Corum plays more than Brian Robinson Jr. because they don't lean on Kyren Williams the way that the Niners lean on McCaffrey. And they lean on McCaffrey because they want to win.
Right. Yeah, McCaffrey's way better than Kyren Williams. But also, yeah, systematically, those guys both fit. That's the way they're doing it. A lot of teams do that. I think sometimes it's circumstantial. If you have somebody who can handle that, you do it. If you don't, you do kind of a rotation thing. But, like, Brian Robinson's good. He's never rushed for 800 yards in this league. He's never even rushed for 800 yards. Yep. That's not a lot. I mean, that's 50 a game. He's never done it.
And he's been a part of a committee. And, again, this is not about Brian Robinson and me, you know, singing his praises. And just looking at it, Blake Corum has played in 28%. And Kyren Williams is at 69%. So that's not a classic share.
But it's changing. Like, if you, like,
it is.
Kyren was the bell cow, and somehow about a month ago, that changed. If you looked at the usage over the last 3 or 4 games, it's more 50-50.
Well, it's because Corum now has much better ball security. And even if you look at the Lions, and they were kind of setting up for more of a share, but Jahmyr Gibbs has been so bananas that David Montgomery plays less than he even did last year. So a lot of it is circumstantial, and it's also scheme. And so the Niners are going to use McCaffrey until they can't use him anymore.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.